Just got back from a great trip in West Africa for about 28 days. And we had a great time in the Ivory Coast with Pastor Emile Conan. A lot of graduates, ordinations. Then we moved. We were in Ghana. Then we went to Togo and then to Burkina Faso, the far north. And it was just a tremendous time of getting to know God and getting to build people and be built up by them. And we were saying this morning something about following God and what it means to follow God. The word is an interesting word in the Greek language, the word to follow. It actually speaks of an abiding fellowship in relationship to God loving me and producing faith. Because I cannot follow God unless I'm loved by God. And I cannot follow God unless I believe God. And we said this morning that Satan wants to make people dyslexic, to see things backwards, to try to follow God without love and faith. And that's an impossibility. And maybe it can happen in the energy of human flesh and some kind of religiosity with determination, but following God the way God would have us to follow him is just simply by him loving me and then me believing and receiving and then following God. Matthew 3:17 is the lowest point in the Jordan River, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 3:17, he hears a voice from his Father in heaven. This is my beloved son, or this is my agapetos. This is the son of my love in whom I'm well pleased. You know, it's great to try to stop pleasing God and just live in the son who pleases God, pleases the father. And then at the high point, Matthew 17:5, Mount of Transfiguration, the very same thing happens again. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And so we're going to have in our lives, sorry to tell you, we're going to have high points and low points. We love the high points. Amen? Hallelujah? We can love the low points too. Because in the low points, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. In the high points, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I am loved in the low points and in the high points. We have a pastor in north of Ghana who's, unless God intervenes, he's passing with cancer. Very serious. And the facility, the place. And I went in to see him, and one of the first things he said to me was, he looked at me, and he's lost maybe, I don't know, half of his body weight. He said to me, "Isn't God good all the time?" I'm like, yeah. Isn't God good all the time? Isn't God good, Pastor Shibeli? I'm like, yes, Pastor Daniel, God's good. He said, and by the way, we need to support a new work, a new church. We have an 11th church planting in the north of Ghana. And could you pray with us? And then I want you to do something for this particular pastor who has a need. And I'm thinking he's just concerned with the goodness of God and the ministry. Amen. He didn't say like, you know, and we did. We prayed for his health and prayed for his healing. But that was not what was on his mind as the first thing. This is my beloved son. And this is amazing. I read a story a few days ago about a man who was a missionary to China. He spent many years in China. I think it was something like 35. But the last 10 years were interesting. And at 70 years old, how old? 70. Oh, you're supposed to retire then, aren't you? What is this retirement thing anyway? Please don't take it wrong, you know. I get some email saying, you know, stop talking about retirement. Like, it's okay. It's okay to I'm talking about spiritually retiring. Are you with me? And Jonathan Goforth, I love his name, Canadian missionary. He decided, you know, he was thinking it was at the end. And at 70 years old, and it wasn't in the best situation that God called him. It seemed like a low point. He's 70. His wife is an invalid, cripple. And the only one that wants to go with him is a 14-year-old boy. So that's the mission team. Jonathan Goforth, who has one eye. He's 70 years old. His wife is crippled. And he's accompanied by a 14-year-old helper. And God said, go. God said, go. Follow. Follow me. But it's not about just following. It's about being loved and believing God. Do you know what happened after her 70th birthday? There was 1,000 converts in Manchuria. His ministry had more converts in the last 10 years than it had in the 30 other years in China. It's amazing. It's amazing. High point, low point. I want to follow God. I desire to follow God. And I want to please God. We want to please God. And we want to follow God. But God said, this is where it begins. This is the Son of my love in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Receive God's love on a continual basis. It's eternal and it's personal. That will produce faith, because faith in Galatians 5:6 works by love. And faith believes, all love believes all things. And I just need to be loved by God. Say that. I want to be loved by God more and more. It's not convincing. What? I want to be loved by God more and more. And God promises to do that because that's who he is. Soul love, not just love, soul love. And that love produces faith. And that faith moves mountains. And that faith is what follows God, but it begins with God's love. When they met Jesus Christ, I guarantee, how could you get up from a receipt of custom in Matthew 9 and just follow? There was something about the manifestation of Jesus Christ's life to Matthew and to Peter in the boat that they just got up and decided to follow. I think for the first time they met one who really loved them. And when you meet the one who loves you, the only one who can love you the way he loves you, then you say, yes, I believe him because I believe he loves me and I'm going to follow. I don't know where it ends. Don't even care where it ends. Doesn't even matter. Bernard of Clairvaux, they put pitch tar all over him and burned him at the stake. And as they walked him to the stake, he had his parents on one side and his children on the other. They were trying to get him to recant his faith and deny Christ. He walked up and he kissed the stake. And he said, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for providing this stake, which will bring me into the presence of your love today. A lot of converts. There was a lot of converts at that meeting. Yes, he went home to be with the Lord, but there were a lot of converts. How do we follow? We believe. How do we believe? We're loved. Amen? Let God love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, thank you for this assembly, for our new hearts, for your Holy Spirit speaking to us. We pray for our country. We pray for our people to turn to you in the heart. This is about our hearts. Our new hearts. It's about grace and salvation, new life from you, God. For you're moving amongst us, also Wilmington, Delaware, Philadelphia, Silver Spring, Maryland, for Pennsylvania, Chicago, Las Vegas, Houston, Miami, New York City, up in Maine, in Searsmont, and other places, in Massachusetts, in Peabody, and Framingham, Mass, and Lenox, or Lee. Yes, Nashville, Tennessee, for radio, for the internet, for worldwide ministry of Christ by all brothers and sisters, every denomination, every group, in Jesus' name, may your Son be highly exalted and seen in this dark world. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, God is good. It's so good to have Pastor Schiavelli back from his long trip, 28 days. And, you know, the countries that he goes to, he mentions them, but conferences and, you know, 2,000 people here, 2,500 people there, and just beautiful work of God. And keep it in prayer, because we know this is all about Jesus Christ and God's great work. When I look out in the audience, I see so many great friends and servants of God. Gary Toft is here, I think. Gary, you want to just wave your hand? There's Gary. He lived in Romania 2 years, wasn't it? 2 years. Yeah, and served. And of course, the Post family, Pastor John and Diane, and on, and Cindy Matthews and the family from Puerto Rico. Just, you know, we are blessed to be in the presence of God's people, and every one of us are objects of His grace and His love. I was reading in the scripture, and I got a hold of something that we all know pretty well, that we understand it, but when it occurred to me, I just got filled with joy about it. I am in a way in amazement at what Christ has done for all of us. I am in shock. I am amazed. I am so thankful. I just could dance here. I just, knowing what God did for every one of us, all of us, what God has done for us through Christ, it's just amazing. And I'm gonna try to share it with you today. Well, God can reveal it to us and help us understand it. It is amazing. But it takes a little bit. Our first part, so there'll be two parts. Before we get there and when we get there. Okay? Is that hard to understand? There's two parts to the message. Before we get there, and then what? And when we get there. Okay, so let's go. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie. Have you ever had anybody, you know what I mean, lie and bear false witness against you? You know, go to your boss, tell a lie about you. Has it ever happened? The heart of man, that we have a real problem in life because of what happens in our hearts. Our hearts are a problem. They're deceitful, desperately wicked. I talked to one brother one time. He was on a sailboat. This is a horrible story. Are you ready? There were three guys on a sailboat in the Atlantic Ocean. And there's one of them they don't like. Two do not like one. And they got this idea. If you take a bucket with a rope on it, and you throw it into the water when the sailboat is going, what happens? That rope can pull you in. So they had a wicked, evil idea of getting rid of the third guy in the boat. By having that rope tied around him and have him throw the bucket in the water and pull him in, and he would drown in the sea, be gone. Nobody would know. It's over, gone. He was lost at sea. How about that? Horrible story. Horrible. Why do I say it? Because the heart of man, the heart of man, your heart and my heart. We are, look at the verse there, a faithful witness. And where do we find a faithful witness? A faithful witness. He would tell the truth all the time. God. God is a true God. And there is no darkness in him. God, faithful witness. And in heaven, there were all these angels. And one angel gets the idea, I don't agree. I rebel. I am against God. He is the first liar. He is the father of lies. He is an unfaithful witness. He will lie. He will murder. He will destroy. He will cheat you. He will deceive you and I. He is an unfaithful witness. Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. Because when he came into this world, he's like telling us the truth. Even if we don't like to hear it, he will tell us the truth. Even if it means he will be crucified, he will tell us the truth. Even if the world does not receive him, he will tell us the truth. Even if it's politically not correct, he will tell us the truth. Even if the whole world is against him, he will tell us the truth. Isn't that good? Phew. Wow. Oh, I want that. I want that. Okay. When the fallen angel went through heaven, when he went through heaven, he lied to all the angels in heaven. And how many believed the lie? What was he saying anyway? What was Lucifer saying in heaven? This is in the scripture that God allowed him, Ezekiel 28, to traffic in heaven. It's amazing. He had the freedom to go through heaven and lie. The devil was the one in heaven and he lied. And what was he saying? God is not that great. I am better. I am greater. Follow me. I will show you the way. In principle, not literally. We don't know what he literally said because it's not written. But the fact that he did it, it is clear in the scripture, and a third of the angels believed him in an unfaithful witness. But a false witness will utter lies. That happened. He was cast out of heaven in Luke chapter 10. We know this. It's written there. Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning. He came here, he went into the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve was, and Adam was to be a faithful witness. Adam was to be a faithful witness of God. Adam was to say that God is good, God is real, God is able, God is gracious, and all of the truths about God that would be revealed to Adam were to be on this earth. There was to be a witness on the earth of who God is. But the liar misled Adam and Eve, and Adam agreed with the devil, and Eve agreed, and they became a false witness. You and I are false witnesses of who God is. When we get hurt, we say, God isn't, we're tempted to say, what happened? How is it I don't understand? We get sick, poor, thirsty, hungry, and we start to utter lies about God. It's not fair what happened to me. I can't believe this happened to me. And by our experience, we become a false witness. Examples: the Jews come out of Egypt through the Red Sea, dry land, a wall of water and water, and they're on the other side. 3 days later, they start complaining. Where is the food? Where is the water? God said, man is not to live by his stomach alone, but he's to live by every word that comes out of God's mouth. We've drawn it this way as like a house. Reality in the universe is like a house with two floors, and man is living on the first floor only. And only on the first floor by what he sees, what he feels, what he experiences. It is subjective. He lives by reason and feelings. These are the two things, reason of man and feelings of man. If God loved us, he wouldn't bring us out to the wilderness to die. We're dying. Aha, is this love? Yeah, right. This is love. Okay. Yeah. It is real. When Lazarus is dead and his sisters said to Jesus, one of them said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't understand why you didn't come. We told you 4 days ago, but you came late. Jesus said, listen, Jesus lives, by the way, in the whole house. His eyes are not only on dead Lazarus buried in the tomb, his eyes are on his Father. And Jesus is a faithful witness of the Father. And he said, this is for the glory of God. Can you see it? No, we don't see. We see my dead brother. That's what we see. My brother is dead. And Jesus is saying, come on, come on, come on, come on. Like, don't live by sight. Come on. I am here. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. Come on. Believe me. Open your heart. Believe me. I came so that your life would be more than simply what you feel and reason, but your life you would live by a spiritual understanding of, listen, the Holy Spirit is a faithful witness. He will guide you into all truth. Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. He will show us the Father. Your new heart that Jesus put in you, a new heart and mind, is bearing witness of the truth. And you're saying, oh, wait a minute. Okay, we are dying. Yes, we are dying in the wilderness. Yes, I don't deny that reality. But I have a feeling there's something more going on than just us dying. God is at work here. There's something more than just my life. It is his glory. It's to the glory of God. It's something I do not totally understand, but I believe that God is more than my bread and my bed and my life, my things, my convenience, comfort, my feelings, and my understanding. It must be, Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. I need a faithful witness on the earth. And that's us. We are a faithful witness. I mean, it's not us, but we're on a mission. We're bearing witness to the goodness of God and the grace of God and the ways of God. We are on a mission. We are here with a purpose, not to lie about God, but to bear witness of a greater reality than us. That is God's presence in his body, God's reality through the cross, the resurrection of Christ, and the impartation of this in our lives. But I want to say, there's a contest. I don't know how we could draw it. In heaven, remember the first liar was? Okay, Lucifer became the father of lies, right? Lucifer. First, father of lies, meaning he didn't have one before him. He was the beginning of lies. The propagandist, I'll put here propaganda. God is not the lies, the messages. Misunderstanding. So life is like a courtroom. I've got a paragraph here. Throughout Israel's history, both Israel and Yahweh are on trial for their fidelity to the covenant. The whole Bible can be read as one long court trial. Isn't that interesting? Just that sentence. The whole Bible is a long courtroom trial. And one witness is called, and then another witness is called, and he's a false witness, but he is called. And if you read the word witness, God says it sometimes. He says, I call heaven and earth to bear witness. And I'm working on this in my mind and would like to get a little better understanding. Wherein have I wearied thee, God said to Israel. Wherein have I wearied thee? How did I make you tired? Bear witness against me. In the book of Micah. God's not fair. Jesus is saying, God is fair. All his works are right. And God is righteous. The false witness is, yeah, then why has this happened and that happened? And Jesus bears witness to the nature of God. We are in a world where both sides are making their arguments. We are in a world where we agree sometimes with the lie. And we say, yeah, what about that? And then there are times in our humility and our faith and the Holy Spirit teaching me, and I go, oh no, I see it. I believe it shall be as God has said. Yes, I'm a bit embarrassed that once I believed the lie, but now I'm liberated in Christ and I realize that there's a lot of things I do not understand. It says, love passes knowledge. A good example is when Jesus is died and buried in the tomb, and the women want to go early morning, first day of the week, because they can't work on the Sabbath, so they can't carry the spices, and they can't wash his body and wrap him and care. So it was done quickly that Friday, it was done quickly, then the Sabbath came. So the first day of the week, they're going to do more of it, and then they just have the idea, who will move the stone? At that point, I could have just said, nobody can move the stone, let's go back home. Nobody can move the stone, let's go home. But they didn't do that. Because love, it passes knowledge. The knowledge says the stone will be there and we won't be able to do anything about it. Well, let's go anyway because we love him. We love him. He is dead. He's dead. He's a dead man. Yes, he's dead, but we love him. We love him. It is in our hearts. I go because it is in, it's our new heart. And we are in this world, and listen to me very carefully. Unsaved people do not have a new heart. They have that heart when they devise a scheme out in the Atlantic Ocean how to get rid of the guy that's a jerk on board. And it'll be over and gone. They have hearts that scheme and devise, and it comes up and wells up within the hearts of men. It's called adultery, pride, evil eye, blasphemy. It's in our hearts. In our new birth, in our first birth, we have a wicked heart. We are liars. We utter lies, all kinds, all the time. And we hear the devil lying to us about God. God, it doesn't matter. Don't believe in God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. Man, it makes no difference. He's not even real. All right, if you say he can't, you can never reach him. He does not care about you. Don't you know how lousy person you are? You know, and on and on. But this is the second part of the message, which is shocking. It's amazing. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there with me, please. Verse 18. I'm sorry. Yeah, 18. And all things are of God. Let's see. Who has reconciled us to himself. I want to, just a short lesson. I'm sorry, this is kind of, we're flying here, but just going, not really, but I mean, super fast, but I just want to make a point here. When two people disagree, there's a word for this in the Greek about coming, being reconciled. And it's in Matthew. It's only one place in our New Testament. It's in Matthew 5:24. When somebody has something against you, go and be reconciled to your brother. And the way it works is the same way you would buy a used car. What's your price? This is my price. Oh, that's crazy. So you make a counter offer. And then you make some kind of reconciliation, and then you agree at a certain place, right? That's a word for reconciliation. This is working it out between two people. Like, I'm sorry about this, yes, but do you understand this? Yeah, but do you know this? And so on. This is a kind of reconciliation of two parties that are enemies that are being reconciled. But this word is not the word used in 2 Corinthians 5:18. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it's this way. There are two parties, and one of them goes all the way to the other and brings him to being reconciled. And there's no negotiating on the guilty party, or there's nothing with that party that is an enemy. This is an enemy, and this one is God. We were enemies, and we were reconciled to God when we were far away, unable, and had nothing that we could offer in making an agreement with God. God could say, in the human way, God could say, listen, I'm very disappointed with you, you sinned a lot. And we could say, I realize that. I'm very sorry about that. I will do better. Well, let's see how you do. I give you 6 months, see how you do. I do better. How is that, God? And God will say, well, I appreciate it very much, but can we work on it a little bit? You know, can we pick up our game a little bit? What do you think? Can you do a... What do you think? Can you? And the pressure is on me, and I'm saying, I'll give it a shot. Let me try. That arrangement is not our message at all. It is not our message. It is not the gospel. That is not what happened to you and I. That does not work. That cannot change my life. That is garbage. Sorry if it offends you. I got to tell it to you. It's a false witness. This is not the gospel. This is not working out some arrangement so that God will be pleased with me because of me. Look at what he thinks of us. That's called the cross. That's what he thinks about you and me. Because you might say, if I was out in the Atlantic Ocean, I would never dream of seeing somebody lost at sea. Well, you're a very nice person, thank you. But you have no idea what is in your heart, what you are capable of, and what sin is. You are a sinner just as much as anybody. In James chapter 2, verse 10, you're guilty of breaking all of the commandments. Every one of us. There is no way any of us would be anywhere with God in any relationship. It would never happen because God does not deal with liars. We are false witnesses. We are liars. Therefore, Jesus Christ came, and up on our screen here, Jesus Christ came and he became sin. And I want to put here, he became 100% sin for us. He did. And he was 100% God. God became a man. It's almost blasphemy to say it. But it's here in the scripture. We would never say it, except it's right there in the scripture. God became a man that we might be justified before a holy God, and that all of my sin would go on Christ. It's like just unbelievably, it's just unimaginable that a holy God would become sin. That a holy God would take all our sin, all of what we are in our hearts, that a holy God would not only be judged as sin on our behalf, but he'd be raised, and that we would be brought in the very presence of God by his grace, and that God has reconciled us to himself. Let's read the verse, please. Verse 18, it says, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. This word, this one, he did it. He did the whole thing. He went all the way, and then brought us all the way. We are righteous now. We are righteous before a holy God. Now we are able to bear witness that our God is an amazing God, an incredible God, a God of all grace, a forgiving God. Our God is a living God, the wise God that did this. The wisdom of God. It means like the depth of it is amazing. The reality of it is beyond words. It is unspeakable gift of God, the great gift of God in Christ, the reality of Christ in our lives, the reality of God's great grace, the reality of the Spirit of grace bearing witness to us that God is a good God, a gracious God, and a forgiving God. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador cannot be lying on behalf of the country he represents. He must be representing the country, representing the government. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the thing. That's it. That was what I said in the beginning of the message. We'll say this so we could say this. And when we say this, it was in my meditation shockingly amazing that we would be reconciled to God completely and totally, all by his grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be free. And now we bear witness to the reality of God in a suffering and dying and troubled world. It is amazing to me that all of the psychology and all of the medical work and all of the services and all of the education, all of the professors and all the moms and dads and all through our world, through our culture, through our country, and how little is preached about Jesus Christ. How little people say Christ is the answer. How infrequently is it said in places where we need to be hearing it, and our young people need to be here because we are a faithful witness, and we're saying, no, you don't believe the lies of the 400 false prophets. But there's another message. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's another answer, the fuller picture. Please put your trust in him and you will know it. That's why he came. Amen. You know, today we're going to do our communion, so do the communion with this message in mind. Please come forward in a minute. The folks will get ready, but would you pray with me as we do a salvation call? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, please do it today and say to Jesus, I believe in you. In your heart, please say to Jesus Christ, I believe in you, I need you. And start walking by faith in him, and he will answer you. And keep coming to the church, keep listening to the word, and you'll grow in your faith. Make good decisions, and you will be a faithful witness of the reality of God. In Jesus' name. Anyone saying that prayer, please raise your hand. Anyone at all saying that prayer for the first time? Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. And then if you did, then you are also welcome for the communion this morning here as we break bread together in Jesus' name. Amen.